Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ho, ho, ho is no mo, mo, mo. Christmas done. We're getting ready for 24-fo-fo.
Good.
That's what it is.
We were building up to it, and it goes so quickly.
It always does. And then
you talking about Christmas? Or?
Yeah. It's Christmas. The festivities.
You're right. And it's madness, and it's the chaos, and you're probably all still reeling from it. So Merry Christmas. Hope you had a good one, and I hope everyone, all the families all played well and nicely to each other, and you're getting ready for New Year's Eve action as well. Might just say
if you, and also, if you're working like, you know, in
shifters.
This little, but in this middle period between Christmas and New Year's Eve, rated for keeping the country going, because that's never easy.
What you are you off between?
I'm off.
The whole
I'm
time
off.
Between Christmas?
Yeah,
so
I'm off.
From the 26th to the when?
To the 2nd.
Oh, nice.
I'm not.
Are you working in between?
DJing.
Of course, he is.
Yeah.
Are you off?
Richard Blackwood, 28th. Me and Richard Blackwood.
Oh, I'm coming to that.
Yes, you are.
Big look.
28th of December, and then 29th now, me and Nabil Abdul Rashid.
Yeah.
Croydon's finest, one of
your
boys.
Yeah.
Big, funny man. We're up in Birmingham on that Friday night, and then New Year's Eve, I'm working in Leeds. So, no, it's a full-on working
busy one.
Yeah.
We're both working.
That's why this one, we took a slight sort of breather from the podcast. Not your usual bakwas that we normally do with stories and stuff, because everyone's a bit out of the loop. We're not quite at work. Well, hey, let's do a little big up. Big up the people that haven't checked their emails.
Oh, that's me.
It's tempting.
I haven't. I made sure that I was not going to check any emails.
I actually think it has a very negative effect. If you check it in this week, it's not good for you.
Yeah, it's bad luck for 2024.
But if you've still got to work, then you've got to
work. Oh, yeah, if you're working.
Such we're freelancers. But actually, if you can put an out of
my emails.
Yeah, but for what? I literally, I will glaze over it. I won't open anything.
I'll be honest
new
with you, yet. I've glazed over a lot of WhatsApp stuff as well.
Yeah, nobody does. No, nobody really opens.
If it's Merry Christmas, I don't care.
Yeah.
He's a Grinch.
I still get school dads. What did they send today? They went, there's some borderline illegal stuff here for Christmas. What? Yeah. You know, like, it's this typical dad group, right?
Yeah.
And I opened it, and it was pictures of tyres that were borderline legal.
Oh, borderline legal.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
Because I was
people got too much time on Christmas, and they just do stupid
sending,
things.
And
go back to work.
Christmas is the time you get sent all the bakwas.
Have you got sent already? I already got sent as well, the other one as well, the OnlyFans calendar.
Yeah, and it is just OnlyFans. Yeah. It's pictures of fans.
Yeah, thanks for wasting my time.
Yeah, and someone was like, oh, how would you like to ride these over Christmas? And it's all bikes.
Nice.
It's just like, wow.
Right. Nice.
But what kind of people do you lot know?
No, but it's not that, bruv. The people that send it, and then you can send, they send laughing emojis. And I'm like,
it's meant to be funny.
You know how lame this is?
I know.
And also,
it feels like it's a little bit
funny.
Like 2000, year 2000 joke on emails.
Yeah, it's like an MSN joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's an old, anyway, so if you've dodged your way through the generic messages,
this podcast is what you're not going to get in a WhatsApp for.
Right.
Because this is the juice. This is the real, the good stuff.
Tell the meat.
This is the tofu. This is the paneer.
The tofu. No one ever said this is the tofu.
Tofu's not the real stuff.
No, it's not.
No, but it is if it's in the middle of a tofu burger.
No, it's not.
A tofu burger is just... If I was a tofu burger sitting on the shelf waiting to be brought out under those little lights on the little metal counter, I'd look at a real burger and go, I wish I was.
What he meant to say was, this is the lamb chop in your mixed grill.
Yeah. This is the... And you know when the platter of mixed grill comes over and you look at your boys and there's five of you, and you see there's only four lamb chops.
Yeah, you're going for the chop.
This is the bundi in your pani puri.
I beg your pardon? That's not where we put our lamb chops, bro. We're not into that. I just want to eat it. Why would you stick it in your bundi?
I'm just saying, like, for the vegetarians out there, you know, it's equivalent to that.
Like, they should meet in Bundiva. So anyway, it's,
is that wait, is that Bindia?
No,
it's the little like balls that go in the funny booty.
Yeah.
Oh, Pecornia.
Huh?
We call them Pecornia.
Is it? That sounds like, Pecornia sounds
that
like,
go in the what?
In the Golgappe, you know, oh, you no, get those like no, fluff air pocket. Like,
What do you call the things that you put in your dane? Those little balls.
Yeah, that's the same that thing. Same thing.
You still put your bundy in your dane.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you really? Yeah. You just lean over the pot and just drop your bundy in your dane. Does that not change the flavour?
Well, it adds flavour.
By the way, I haven't had jeera in my dane. Jeera in my dane is lovely.
Jeera and chili powder. My God, this game changer.
Yeah.
No thanks.
I haven't done that for a
while. That with and you just in the summer and you dip tepla into it.
But tepla is a bit like for me, I like them, but it's a bit mucky di roti. Like, I can have one or two, but then I'm like, okay, can we just give me the buttery, fluffy, flaky stuff now?
Kedge lives on them.
No, I think tepla and bit of yogurt with the masala in it. It's
tepla, I would put on a par for me with like a metti wali pronti. Like, they're nice, they're thin, they're tasty.
Yeah, butters.
But I suppose all the teplas I've had are always cold as well.
Yeah, because you only had them cold. Yeah, it's a different vibe when it's warm.
Yeah, I think fresh off the tava is something else.
Yeah, it's different, yeah.
You don't need
a tepla. So look, what we're about to give you... Sorry, we're just rambling on. Yeah. What we're about to give you is our best of episode. Satch, you've been working on this one.
Yes, it is all the best things we've learned from the whole year, from 2023. And it's mostly mine and Tommy's voice you're going to hear in this.
Wow, why is that?
A little bit of Kedge.
Kedge is there a little bit... But he has had some rubbish. Maybe. He has had some really rubbish ones.
Maybe you're out of order. Maybe you're hating on.
No, I'm not hating.
No, the gems are rare. No. Few and far between.
No, but even the ones that are in there, Kedge, they were borderline. We were scraping.
What didn't make it? Can you remember one?
Oh, no, there was some really... Tommy, there was some really... There was one where he just read something like, Love, Live, Life. And that was the thing he learned. And that was it. And I was just like, are you for real? That's what... One was, he told us something... Honestly, half of them weren't even facts.
Yeah. What are you saying? But he does that. He just keeps saying words until he dazzles you and you go, okay, Kedge, I agree.
I think, do you know what? Over the 5 years, we've just known now to call his bullshit.
Yeah, and that's so it.
No. I still get away with a lot of it. Oh.
So here we go. For the next 40 minutes or so, it's mostly me and Tommy and a bit of Kedge with the best things we've learned for 2023. Shall we get into it?
Let's go.
What the thing done? I learned is, what is that bit where you're just about to fall asleep, but you're still awake? It's like that little transitional period where weird stuff happens when you're asleep.
Mine doesn't go on for that long. I'm normally...
Do you know that there's that little window? It might be 30 seconds, it might be a minute.
Yeah, mine is a little 20-second window.
Hold on.
Like, for example, I'm just going to put it out, like you might feel like you're falling or like your knee jerks or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you get that little knee jerk.
What is that called?
Is it... It's called REM.
No. REM. No. I was just going to say that as well. That's the first early stages of
your sleep.
Yeah, it's not random rapid eye movement, whatever it is.
What is it, Satch?
It's hypnagogia. It's the transition between being awake and falling asleep. That little period of... It's like you hallucinate. That's what it says.
My sister's name's Goggy. Oh. And what's his called?
Hypnagogia.
And one of the things I've just learned is, what is Shazam? Where does that word come from? Right? I looked up and thought, Shazam sounds a bit desi.
Alakazam.
Right? Alakazam, Alakazam, and Shazam. You hear it in Shazam, bam, like it's done.
Go on.
But Shazam in Urdu means happiness.
Shazam. One.
So it's, Shazam, right? It comes up in Urdu meaning, but in the film, and I never knew this, it's a acronym of the Greek gods. Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, and Mercury, Shazam. Oh. That's the actual make. And actually, it comes from a comic book writer back in the day, back in the 1940s, who made up Shazam to be an acronym of the gods, of the Greek gods.
Wow.
Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles.
I never knew that. When was the first passport issued? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to find out.
Okay. The first ever passport anywhere in the world ever?
Yeah. So the passport was first made... Its appearance during the reign of Henry V in the form of what was known as the safe conduct. And basically, one of the earliest passports still exists, and it was issued on the 18th of June, 1641.
Wow.
And it was signed by Charles I. How mad is that?
Oh, sorry. So did the Brits invent passports?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose because back then they were probably the only ones traveling around taking over parts of the world.
And then the photograph of the holder became a requirement at the outbreak of World War One in 1914. So up until then, there was no photos, obviously.
There was no photo.
Yeah, you couldn't have a photo. But then that was when the photo came. I thought, that's incredible.
QR code.
Oh,
what does QR stand for?
I don't know this. I don't know this. It's one of them ones where I thought, I wonder what it stands for.
Is it technical?
For.
Is it a technical term or is it an everyday term?
It makes sense. Whatever the two words are, it makes sense.
Is it relay?
No.
Nope.
Quick read?
Oh, that's a good shout. Quick reading. Quick. No, it's got to be quick something.
I'm just going to double check it. It's not reading.
It's quick.
Quick response.
Oh, of course it is. Quick response.
And it is a quick response.
But we should know that. We should know.
We should know that. And that's what I mean.
Seeing that's how I order my drinks nowadays. I should know that.
When I saw that, I was like, QR. How did I not? I just accepted.
And QR code.
Yeah,
right.
There's a lot of acceptance.
I have never questioned them.
Well, I've never questioned it.
They go, right, this is your new like NI QR number. Code. Oh, what's NI? Oh, National Insurance. Okay, fine. Yeah, this is your PIN. Oh, personal identification number.
I'm going to use that on a lot of people this week. See how many people know.
Yeah, so just scan the quick response code and see what. I'll bet you that will throw them.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are women's buttons on the other side of their shirt?
That's a very good question.
Do you know the reasoning behind this? You're going to love this. Because the buttons came about in the 13th century. And at that time, to have buttons was a luxury, right? So the only people that would have buttons were rich people who would then have somebody else to dress them. So the buttons for rich women would have someone to dress them, would be on the other side so that the person doing up the buttons could do it easier than it'd be the other way around because they were used to doing men's buttons. So they would do, it would be like a male tailor, a man, you know, doing all the buttons up. So it was to flip it around so that it stayed consistent for them, for the person doing up the buttons. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, got it. Around.
That makes sense, yeah.
There you go. And it goes back to them. So there's no real reason. It wasn't like, well, women on the left, men on the right, that's how we do it. It was more like, well, women are going to be dressed by somebody else. We'll put the buttons on the other side so the person can always still keep the same form facing the person when they're doing the buttons up.
When you're at school, what's the first thing you do? You open up a little an exercise book in school and you put your ruler down and you draw a margin.
Yes.
The origins of a margin to go inside a book is because when you put that book in storage and rats might eat the book, it won't go to your notes because it would have just eaten the end bit.
Wow. Who thought of that?
Hold on. No, I don't understand.
That is
come on. That's
epic. That is
no, I
epic.
Don't get it. I don't get it. So when you put
it's the book, Tommy's never drawn a bloody margin.
He doesn't even know
margin, but I don't get about the rat eating thing. What do you mean?
Because if you put that book into storage in the olden days, you might put it in your shed or in your loft or in whatever wherever it is. Put it into your shelf. The rat can only eat that bit of the book at the end where the margin is. So your notes won't get eaten. Maybe just the end corner bit might get eaten.
Oh, so you store it on a shelf. Like, oh yeah, so the margin is the back end. So it's kind of going, but what if they chew through the margin?
I swear Tommy's never drawn a margin. I don't think it's a concept of drawing a margin.
No, hold a minute. You mean the line down the side of the paper, that's about the width of a ruler on the page, yeah?
On
the left-hand side, yes.
So if I'm putting my book on a shelf and I've got the back of the book, the book
the
end,
backbone,
right?
The backbone.
Yeah, the backbone, right? Is that me? So you're saying that bit then is protected because then you've effectively got about another inch.
Yeah, correct. Before your notes.
No, I get that. What's that got to be drawing a margin? I get that. But I'm saying, what if they eat through, they go past that?
No, but they're less likely to. They're just going to have a little nibble on the end. They're not going to eat the whole book, are they, Tommy? They don't eat books for dinner, do they?
Well, then they shouldn't. Then what's a worry about? Don't worry about a margin then.
But funny, you just don't write anything in the book.
When you crack your knuckles, what do you get told?
You get arthritis.
Correct. So basically, we've all been told, if you do that, you're going to get arthritis. But yet, you still get an uncle and auntie who still do... There's always someone in your family who does it.
Yeah.
And they love it. And then they come and pull one finger at a time and do all of that. And all of this kind of nonsense starts happening.
Pull my finger.
Guess what, guys? It doesn't actually give you arthritis.
Fact.
Fact.
Are you sure?
Dr.
How
Korn
do you know?
Has said that when you crack your knuckles, you're basically just releasing air out of your joints.
So is that applied to all cracking of all joints? Back
Correct.
Joint?
Correct.
That's good to know.
So basically, it's just there's fluid there in your fingers and it has air bubbles in it and that's all you're doing. So It doesn't give you arthritis.
Yeah, but maybe so getting rid of the hover.
Stop telling people that it's going to give you arthritis. Let them crack their knuckles. People are probably just saying that because they find it annoying.
You're a knuckle cracker.
I'm not. I've never cracked a knuckle in my life.
No.
You're too scared of arthritis.
Bruv, no, yeah. No, honestly, but I am.
Yeah, because he's been planted.
Ever since a young age, I was told you're going to get arthritis, so I stopped doing it.
Can you crack a knuckle right now?
Know how to do it.
In 1834, that's a long time ago, ketchup used to be sold as medicine.
Ah, very good. Why?
Why was it sold as medicine? 1834.
So why would they have done a tomato
sauce? Tomato ketchup was around 1834.
Well, it's a tomato sauce. It's a basic sauce.
It's no, it's not. There was no flavour in English food back then.
No, there was.
Oh, but this is kind of linked to why why it was a medicine.
Oh,
taste buds?
No.
It's high in acid. Was it to do with some sort of gastric problem?
You're kind of there.
Oh.
So food used to give people indigestion.
Yeah.
So they gave them ketchup as a bit of a lube.
Yeah.
Like to lubricant up when you're eating stuff. Okay. Because so you don't get indigestion.
What? Right. And so I've that heard... means it must be high alkali intake in then.
What do you mean?
Well.
Because if you've got a lot of acid, you need to neutralize it. So it must be. So maybe there's more alkali in it because it was made out of tomatoes.
Maybe.
And so that's probably
I think it was just, I thought it was just more because if you eat something dry, you're better off eating it with something a bit more wet.
Which apparently is the purpose behind like achardas and pickles.
Yeah.
And those, also dain and yogurt.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's a lubricant. Like,
It's a lube. Stop saying lube.
No, it's a lubricant. That's what it is.
A lube up your inside. No, but people make it slide in nice.
People might get confused and then go, oh, look, Sad from the podcast told me to use this, so I've got a jar of it.
I'm not telling you where else to use it.
No, but you know what I mean? People take things literally, Sad.
All I'm saying is just dip your chips in ketchup, nothing else.
Yeah, okay. Right. Not your other spud.
Why is it that dreams surprise you even though they're thoughts in your head? Like, I can't surprise myself. I can't go, oh, then a scary man comes along. Ah, I'm scared. Like, I thought it. But why is it that you wake up from dreams, like, not...
Oh, jump. You're jumping.
Basically, surprised by content that you've made. Do you see what I mean?
Wow. That is quite deep. Maybe because it's bad content.
It took me 3 or 4 Google searches. I couldn't work out what question I was asking. But basically, I was trying to work, like...
You need to get onto the Bing, ChatGPT-4. That would have answered it straight away.
So, I've got the answer now, right? But it's almost like if they say you can't tickle yourself. And here's what I learned. This is a thing I've learned is... You've got 2 parts of your brain. One part of your brain comes up with the stories for your dreams, and the other part of your brain reacts to it. So your brain splits. One part of it becomes the audience. One part of it becomes the creator. Oh. That's bonkers. While you're sleeping, that's what goes on. So that's why you wake up and you go, what was that? Oh, lucky it was a dream, whatever, right?
Yeah.
I just think... So when you say about underwater living or whatever else, there's so much that we don't know about us.
Our brain.
Yeah. And I just thought that was incredible, that almost like we can entertain ourselves in our dreamland because one part of our brain will just sit down and go on then, give me the tamasha, other side of the brain, get creative. And it can be whatever movie you want. So there you go.
Wow.
You've got a split brain.
But you know how like eggs in India are white?
Yes.
Yeah.
And eggs here are brown.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Surely it should be the other way around. that's
a good one. And sometimes you can get white eggs here.
We can.
You can. Do you know why? They are different colours.
One comes out of... No.
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 The colour of the chicken's egg... Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
The colour of the chicken's egg depends on the colour of the chicken's earlobes.
If the
chicken has white earlobes, they lay white eggs. And if they're slightly dark lobes, they'll lay brown eggs.
There we go.
When I learned this, I was like, oh, OMG.
That is good. That beats my finger one.
Yeah, but hold a minute.
Madness, isn't it?
Wait. Where's the chicken's earlobes?
They're very small.
Well, there is.
On their ears, basically. But you'll see it.
You have a little.
Yeah. How mad is that?
I don't understand the correlation. I don't understand why an earlobe would have that much fat play on.
So if it had red ones, it might be red or something.
Maybe.
So nothing to do with the taste of the egg.
To do with the earlobe.
99.8% of Indians, do not go to a gym.
Really?
Oh, wow.
They haven't even got a membership.
Oh, in India.
Yeah, they don't go to...
Yeah, no, of course.
Only 0.2%.
Yeah, but 0.2% in India is still about 58 million, isn't it? So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, something like that. But, bruv, that is quite mad.
It's mad when you first say it like that, but then when you think about it, and now that the population's taken over China, I mean, you know, like I said, it's still, there's a lot of people, you know, in villages and stuff that, you know, are struggling to even get.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, to be fair, it seems Indians are getting their cardio in because the population's going mad.
But it's
the strength training that they need a bit of.
Good stat though.
98.8%. Don't say that.
Why does the salt holder have one hole and the pepper holders have multiple holes?
Ooh. This feels like we should know this.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. No. This has come officially from a royal family servant. Staff who lays out cutlery and all that. And he says, and the history of it is as follows. Salt was never designed to go all over your food. You put it in one spot. So hence you need one hole to aim it on the side of your plate. So it's for aiming. So to put it on the side, so you put a little gathering of salt. And actually, Kej, I thought you might know, because there's a couple of public school boys that I went to university with. And whenever they put their salt on their plate, Nick Corbett, if you're listening, Nick would always put his salt in a little pile and then dip his chips into that little bit of salt.
Yeah, I grew up with eating all of that. So like we just put it in a spot and you dip your chips in that. That's how. I never ate salt. So
yeah,
no, and pepper you sprinkle all over. Hence why it doesn't really matter about the aim, and you can have multiple holes.
Why is it called HP sauce?
Oh, that's a good one. HP higher purchase.
Is it part of the Heinz? Is it Heinz?
HP. Nope. It's brown sauce, isn't it? What's it made out?
It's there on the bottle. If you look at the bottle of HP sauce, it's there. When I looked there, I was like, how did I not notice that?
I don't know. I don't even eat that sauce. I think it's disgusting. But
was it invented by Harpreet?
No.
Hot potato.
Harold Peter.
Hungry people's sauce.
Are they descriptive words, Satch? Of the sauce?
No. Do you know why it's called HP sauce?
Go on. Heinz and...
No. Punjabis.
It stands for Houses of Parliament sauce.
Wow.
Is it?
Yes.
Houses of Parliament sauce.
And if you look at the bottle, the Houses of Parliament are on the flipping bottle.
I've never looked at
that. That's so weird, isn't it? What is brown sauce? Because it's terrible.
Because some guy up north realised that this is what was being served in the Houses of Parliament all them years ago. And he thought, well, this needs to go in a bottle. And that was it.
Right, my one, the thing I learned, which is a brilliant one, especially for the winter sort of temperatures that we're dealing with at the moment. Right, here's the techers that no one thought about. And I was like, when I heard about it today, I was like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. You know, when it's so cold outside and you get into your car and you turn the air conditioning thing on full blast so it sorts your screen out.
Mm.
Yeah. You know how to quicken that process?
How?
Put your wind flaps down. Not the wind flaps. Sorry, your sun visors down.
Yeah.
Don't do anything with your flaps.
Yes.
Put them down.
So what should I do with my flaps, though, Kej? If I've got my flaps out as well.
Your flaps are folded, bring them out, right?
Put your flaps out, open, and then keep
the heat and circulates it quicker.
One side or both sides?
Both sides.
Both sides, of course. Yeah.
So it creates a pocket, and it keeps the heat in there, and it pushes it back in, so it will get rid of all of that stuff quicker. Do this. I've tried it. It works. Go on.
Okay. All right. I'm annoyed because that's something that I should have thought of. I should have just realized the heat's blowing up. You want to send it back down?
Exactly. How we never figured that out.
It's very basic. It's very basic. I'm surprised.
That is a good one. I think the brilliance lies in its basic.
But it's basic because it's like we've got the tools there. We ain't got to install anything.
But no one thought of it. Because you can't see properly, no one lifts them down.
Okay, so the thing I learned this week is actually about birthday cakes and them candles. Do you know why we put candles on our birthday cakes?
That is it. To remember how old you are.
It's the only blowy you're going to get on your birthday?
Hey, hey. No. No, come on. It's a lot more sort
why
of...
Why do we do it? It's obviously to celebrate your age. And the blowing out of the year before and welcoming the new by eating a cake.
It's got to be something with the positivity, negativity out with the...
It's definitely a positive thing. And it goes back to the ancient sort of Greek times. And it's about how when you obviously, you know, you blow your candles, you make a wish. The reasons that you blow candles is that obviously the smoke from the candles takes your wishes up into the sky and into the place where God could claim your wishes. And I thought, that's actually quite simple. I've never really thought of that. But it makes sense.
Actually,
that might be also why they go blow out the candles. Make a wish quick.
Well, yeah, because your wish gets carried.
To release the Heinz tomato ketchup from a glass bottle, what do you always do? You tip it upside down and you...
Pat, have you got... If you tap the number.
Tap the rear.
Yeah.
Oh, you know it then?
Yes, I know about them. Sorry. So you tap... You do? Have I stolen his thunder?
You tap the label on the neck...
Yeah.
That where the 57 is written, because the 57 varieties. That's what it's so if you tap the where the 57 is, which is almost like the neck.
Yeah, yeah, that near the neck, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what releases the ketchup, not the bottom. Don't spank the bottom, spank the neck.
Spank the side.
Spank the neck.
Okay. Spank the 57 label. That's what it was. So that's what I learned from the glass bottle.
I'll keep that going.
Mind you, I say that, I don't think I've used a glass bottle in 20 years. I'm all squeezing.
Sometimes you do get it in like the odd cafe or restaurant that you go to.
Yeah.
Yes,
so tap the
neck. But at home, it's the squeezy.
And it kind of hurt me to do this one, because I know it's about Nutella that we that we learned.
Oh yeah, I like how you're circling it nicely here.
And did you know 25% of the world's hazelnuts go into Nutella?
Whoa,
that is a lot.
25% of the whole world's hazelnuts just go into Nutella. That one product.
25% of the world's nuts go into Nutella.
Hazelnut.
No, but that's a lot of consumption of that of Nutella.
Why are you making some Bindu now?
We've been told it's Bindu. It's Bindu.
You said it like you got barn in your mouth.
Nutella.
Huh?
25% of hazelnuts. Wow.
That's a good one. That's a good stat.
Do you know who the first animated couple to be in bed were?
Oh.
Fred and Wilma Flintstone.
Was it really?
In the show.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Only because I was trying to think, what's the oldest couple?
It's funny how you, because I thought that straight away, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, because they had a kid. What was the kid's name?
Barney.
Bam Bam. Bam Bam.
Oh, yeah, Bam Bam.
Barney, no, but Barney, you didn't see that.
Maybe you did. I don't know. Maybe
but you,
you
just,
did.
But it's weird
you
how
you. Seen them conceive. It wasn't
but maybe you did.
But
I don't
how
know.
Mad is
Little
that?
Rock baby, Pebble.
They were the first animated couple what, in bed.
That you saw in bed on in a show.
You know why? Because I think that was the
bed
first.
Rock.
The first, yeah.
Yeah.
I can make your bed rock.
Banger.
Yeah, that is a tune. I think it's because that was the first kind of cartoon that was like a sitcom. Didn't it have laughter in the background?
Yeah.
And you think before that, there weren't many cartoons that had like background, like it was a sitcom. It had a setting and a scene and it was things that happened in the episode and him going to work and all that kind of stuff.
What was Fred's brother's name?
Barney.
Barney.
It wasn't his brother. It was his neighbor.
Neighbor.
Yeah. So I thought his brother.
Yeah.
See, I didn't really
Wilma!
Watch it.
Wilma.
It was Fred, Wilma, Barney, and I've forgotten his wife's name.
What's
the
dinosaur
booth.
Called?
Dino. Betty.
Dino.
Betty
and Dino was the dinosaur.
Betty was fitter than Wilma.
Yes.
Betty was fit.
Yeah.
Betty was cute. She had the bob
definitely.
Hair. I like the bob
definitely.
Hair look.
Barney Rubble was punching above his.
I don't know how. I think Barney. Yeah.
Barney was Barney's 4 foot packing. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. But height, you know.
See, I don't remember the flint. Like I caught the back end of it because my brother used to watch it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have ever even gone there.
Do you remember the words of the opening credits?
Pretty much.
Got him.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, meet the Modern Stoney family. When you're from the town of Bedrock, they're a patron of history.
I don't remember that bit.
But I remember when he put the big steak on the side of his car.
Yeah.
And I never knew what that was. I thought it was a speaker. I never knew what that was.
I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a shell. Because it had the
line, a shell, yeah.
Because it looked like the
rib. What was it? It was like a rib steak.
Rib.
Like it's a massive dinosaur rib, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And we just didn't
see, I don't remember that.
Learn something new.
What I learned this week was Pharrell Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Producer.
Yes.
Yep.
Timbaland, producer.
Yeah.
They're cousins.
I read that this week as well.
And Timbaland
are cousins through their grandma.
I read that this week and I was like, OMG.
Honestly, I didn't know what to...
I mean, it makes sense though, doesn't it?
So for, well, what a creative family.
What a family.
What, yeah.
Pharrell and Timbaland are cousins.
So who would have made it first? Because they've both been around...
No, so do you know what? And then I was reading into this a bit more.
Yeah, you looked into it.
Pharrell's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
like
I
he
know.
Was started in the like early 90s. Mm. He wrote the lyrics to Rump Shaker, Rex X.
Oh, wow. Pharrell.
Pharrell.
Wow.
All I want to do is on my zoom, zoom, Pharrell zoom in a pom pom. Just Pharrell. Shake.
Wow.
Pharrell wrote that.
It's a random one that came up at dinner. I went to a lovely restaurant on the weekend.
Mm.
Called Bibi in Mayfair. It was my sister's 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a fancy sort of seven-course.
Oh, yeah, a little bit bougie.
Taste the menu, all these kind of clever little dishes coming out and all that.
Yeah.
But the thing that my brother-in-law said, which I went, oh, because we ate something and it was a bit spicy. Mm. And all of us went, oh, our top lip is tingling, right? Mm. It's tingling from the spices.
Mm.
And he went, oh, you're vermilion. I went, what?
You're vermilion.
Vermilion. Vermilion.
Yeah.
V-E-R-M-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Yeah.
Is your top lip.
Oh.
And that bit.
We didn't learn that in biology.
And that bit just where the lip sort of turns into your, I don't know what you call this bit, the skin below your nose.
Yeah.
You know, that bit where the mutch grows.
Yeah.
That's called your vermilion border. So you know where you might get a cold sore, your lips go a bit chappy and a bit dry.
The vermilion border.
The vermilion border and your top lip is officially known
What's
as.
The bottom lip?
Huh?
What's the bomb lip?
Oh, pardon me.
You went to do all that and you didn't find the bomb.
No, I found out that it's vermilion. Vermilion, I thought, so you can now say, go on, put plant, kiss.
Give us one on the vermilion.
Yeah, let me put your vermilions on mine.
Yeah. You've probably seen Sir Ben Kingsley play pretty much every ethnicity on the big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Including the roles of Mahatma Gandhi. He won an Oscar for it.
Yep.
A Sikh driver, a guru with Mike Myers. And recently he played the role of an Indian magician in Wes Anderson's The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Yep.
Ben Kingsley was actually born Krishna Pandit Banji.
Oh, wow.
His father, Rahimtullah Harji Banji, was a Gujarati Ismaili Muslim who was brought up in Kenya and later moved to the UK to study medicine.
Ismaili.
It's a different. It's another caste. So apparently he died at a very young age. His father, who was 54 from drinking, and Kingsley's paternal grandfather Harji Banji was a successful spice trader who moved from India to Zanzibar. So this guy is Gujarati.
Do you know what? That makes me sad, though. No, I tell you why that's made me sad.
Moment of pride.
Ben Kingsley's mother, though. Sadness. Ben Kingsley's mother, I was just going to add, it was an English model and actress and was part Jewish.
So, hang on a minute. His name's Krishna. What's his surname?
Krishna Pandit Banji.
Krishna Banji.
Yeah.
I'd have left it at that. Why would you change your name to Ben Kingsley? Is it to fit in with the white folk?
He's accepted in every
thank
country.
Thank you to Johnny who sent that to me.
Well done.
What a legend. What,
Krishna Banji.
Perfect.
He's one of our own. He's one of our own. He's one of our own. Krishna Banji is one of our own.
Why does James Bond have his drinks shaken?
Oh, I heard this.
And not stirred.
Oh.
I
know the answer, so you...
Okay, let me see if it is the same. Because when you shake... Yeah, so he wants it shaken, not stirred.
Not stirred.
When you stir it... The vodka, the mixer, and the ice all mix together, so you get drunker. When you shake it, the water sits at the top.
And he only sips it.
So that you sip it, and therefore you're sipping water, therefore you're staying sober, and he's then on duty as a spy.
Wow,
he's keeping his wits about
him. That's it.
So they said that was the technique. So if that is, but I don't think that was ever referenced in the James Bond movies, but it might have just been a secret behind the
secret,
scenes reason.
Yeah, that's a secret.
Code. I like that. So shaken leaves the water sitting at the top. And therefore, therefore, you know, like sometimes when you do pour a drink and all of a sudden, like all your mixer is at the bottom and you ever had that, you're like, oh, this is just Barney. And then you get the boat, like, it's all gora.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Because it's shaken.
It's shaken, not
shaken. Turtles breathe through their bum.
I think I knew that, you know.
No, you didn't.
I think I did.
So if you were going to suffocate a turtle, you stick your finger in his bum. Or her bum.
Many, that's one of many ways.
What, don't they have nostrils as well?
No.
Maybe
they do. And then
is their bud also their breath?
Yeah.
Don't say yeah like that. You didn't know. You hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, he thought of that.
You went,
To be fair, I don't really care. But now that you're going into it.
What? Well, I'm not going into no turtle's bum. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to work out if they breathe through their bum.
Yeah. Maybe they fart through their nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
I'm going to go first because I think the one that I'm going to tell you about this week is going to absolutely blow your socks off.
Go on.
And it's about the song Murder, She Wrote, Shaka Demus and Plaz. Everyone
knows
that song.
Murder, She Wrote.
Give us a... Tommy, give us actually, because I know you'd probably be good at this. Give us... Not the first line of it. I say the first verse of it. How does it start? So it goes, murder, she wrote, murder,
real,
she
wrote.
And then it goes,
murder, she wrote.
And then it goes, what is that?
A pretty face out back.
That's it. You've gone past it. Okay, well, there you go. Okay, so you've established there's a pretty in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But... people just make that noise. But what is those words?
Okay, hold on. Let me get it. A pretty face. But what do I say? You know what? I've sung it a pretty thousand face, times.
No, it's the words are pretty face, bankrupter.
No, I tell you what. Because it's dancehall. It's a pretty face. I'm back. Like a back runs back. Something like that.
Because your pretty face makes me bankrupt.
Your pretty face, I'm bankrupt. No, it's not.
No. It doesn't make sense. It's just pretty face.
Yeah, but that doesn't fit. It doesn't sound like that.
But you have to. You have to assume. Pretty face, bankrupta.
At least you've got the melody right, because it is along those lines. But I actually found out what he was saying today.
It's not bankrupt.
Is it a pretty face and bad karak chai?
A lot of people that just make noises. It's like that's the word. So I've seen loads of people sort of mime that. And to be fair, I never knew this. The actual words are a pretty face and bad character.
I still prefer bankrupter, because you know when you're slightly lit, it just goes better.
But also that's the song I remember at the very start. I accidentally played it on my phone because I just looked it up. At the start, it says something about Tepla. At the very start, this one dedicated to the girls with a tapler.
It does.
The opening line is this one dedicated to the pretty girls and the ones with the tapler. It's something like that.
I need to hear that.
With the angel fierce and the tapler. So that's what it says.
Right.
Listen to it. So listen up for tapler.
I mean, that's ideal, though, isn't it? That is ideal. If you could find someone with the angel face and tapler, that's it. You're on your way.
What are the pieces, I don't want to call them segments, of a pomegranate cord? You know those little darnier
seeds, pommy seeds.
Incorrect.
I wouldn't have a clue.
You wouldn't have a clue because it's a new word. I don't even know.
Go on.
And I'm not actually. You know what? Because I read it, I don't even know how it's pronounced. I might pronounce it wrong. Someone will correct me.
Yeah.
But it's an aril, A-R-I-L. A bit of a pomegranate is called
aril.
So, you know, I'm getting all the arils, A-R-I-L, arils out of the pomegranate. And basically, arils are quite common because they're a seed covered in a pulp kind of thing, which is what... So there is a seed inside that red thing, the red dana. But inside that dana is the seed, and on the outside... But an aril is anything which has that kind of makeup. I'm like, there you go. Because I would have said, pomegranate bits. But now you can go, no, they're called arils.
There is one country in the world... that doesn't have a football team.
Oh, okay. Wow. Ooh.
Would you know which one it is?
Oh, is it going to be like a random country that's not developed?
Can you give us a continent? Give us a continent.
Is it South America? Is it like a... No, it wouldn't be
Northern Hemisphere? Southern Hemisphere?
Close to America.
Close to America.
I bet it's one of the Caribbean islands.
Quebec?
Caribbean islands?
I haven't even heard of this place.
Go on.
The Marshall Islands.
Marshall Islands.
M-A-R. And it's in the Pacific Ocean. And basically, it's the only country in the world that has no football team. And that's because they haven't even probably got enough people there. The nation holds... the whole place has 1,225 islands, right? And it's 8,000 miles away from Britain. And
wow,
it's
far, bro.
I know.
It's far.
And some of them are like on submerged volcanoes.
Is that the other side of the planet?
It is.
Yeah, that is.
Dubai is.
So it's further than America.
Free, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's in their territory, if you know what I mean. Like,
you've got to go all the way around the other side of America.
Exactly. Beyond
yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
Like it's going to Hawaii. Like going territory.
Hawaii. Yeah. Yeah.
But three Brits have now gone there to set up the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation.
People with a smartphone unlock their smartphone how many times a day?
Oh. That is.
Give us a number.
Oh. I'm going to go
on average.
Unlock. And now you don't.
25.
No, 75.
25, Tommy. You've probably done it 25 times in the last hour we've been saying.
Yeah. 75.
Oh, so per hour, did you say?
No.
In a day.
In a day.
75.
Yeah. You unlock. My phone locks after every minute. Like,
no, as in how many times would you unlock your phone?
Unlock it to look at
do something.
Phone.
From the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep.
Oh, sorry. Do you mean, sorry, I didn't know you're looking at unlocking or just checking my phone? What are you
saying? To check your phone, you have to unlock
it. Yeah.
25. What was that? What, is that a lot or not a lot?
That's not
the
a lot.
The whole day.
Two times an hour, you unlock it. Yeah. I'd say that's about...
Nah, bro, you might... No. It's got to be way more than that, Tommy.
All right, he's getting 25.
Every time you look at your phone, you're unlocking it. Every time you're unlocking your phone. At least 75, if not more.
So he's going 25, you're going 75.
Yeah.
The average number of times you unlock your phone in a day.
Go on.
110 times.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds... I mean, that is right.
That's about right.
Because now you're not even swiping. You just got to look at it,
just,
haven't you?
So your phone,
Or thumb.
Thumb or your... Or yeah. It's picked up your face.
Yeah.
Loch Ness, this is my things I learned. If you took all of the water in all of the lakes across England and Wales, there would still be less water than what there is in Loch Ness. Oh. So Loch Ness is that massive, is 26 miles from one part of the lake to the other part of the lake.
26
miles. 30,
it's a marathon.
30 something.
It's a marathon.
And there's depths of it which are like deeper than the Atlantic
Hence,
ocean.
We don't know if Nessie's down there.
We don't know what's down there. Might be. 26 miles of a lake.
I didn't think it was
a body
that big.
Of water.
I thought it was
just
like a little pond thing.
That's what I would have thought. Because you see the shots.
Yeah, because you see the shots.
But we were driving along it for like an hour. You know, like just like cruising along. Like it's right running right alongside. Yeah.
So it's a biggie.
Add on all the lakes and from all across England and Wales, and it's still not as big, has as much water as Loch Ness.
Twix.
Yeah.
What does this stand for?
Oh, okay. I know. No, sorry. I was going to do something just before we get into that.
What do you mean, what does it stand for? It's not like TWIX.
No,
it?
So it's...
Well, it might be, but hold on. There was another fact about Twix, about the biscuit.
Yeah, about the left and the right.
Yeah, there's
one was being smothered. We've done this.
Yeah, no. That's what I thought you were going to say. Like but no. But Twix, what does it stand for? So is it a snack for twats? and therefore, it's a twix. No, that'd be a twax. No, I don't know.
Go on.
Totally. I didn't realize. Is it like that? Is it like
they tweeted this? Twix tweeted this.
So is it a TWDI and the X?
Twin.
So is it like a
twin?
Oh, he's oh, along. Twin? He's along the. He's along the.
But the what's the X then?
I don't know. Go on.
Twin sticks.
Oh,
Twix.
Twin sticks. How have we not twin known sticks. That?
All these years.
Twin sticks.
All
Twix.
These.
And they just came up with Twix. So basic.
Twin.
So
sticks.
We should know
Let's
that.
Call it Twix.
We should know that.
Everyone should know.
Everyone should know that.
Well done, sir.
That's what we want to learn. We want to learn about the scientific research when it comes to butt hair. And so,
do we? The scientific research of Chitrabal.
Right. So the folks at the IFL Science Research and Institution have basically conducted a little YouTube experiment, and they've come back with why we have butt hair. What is it down to? You know, why is it? Now, apparently, the scientific suggestion is that butt hair is actually, it has a tangible benefit in the form of boosting our anal scent. So if you're wondering what that means, is that basically in the early days, early man relied on having a smelly bum to mark the territory.
Yeah, like a dog.
And attract mates.
Yeah, so what does the bile do?
So basically...
Helps spread the vibe.
It enhances
the scent.
Okay, so it's almost like the scent from your chitter continues down the bal.
and
it's wafting out. It wafts like a skunk's tail.
Absolutely, yeah. So you'd mark your territory. Obviously, nowadays, we mark our territory in other ways.
Yes, just put a door number in the front of your house, things like that. This is where I am.
And the other bit of research they've said is that actually what it is they're really here for is to avoid the anal chafing.
You were right, Satch. You were right. That podcast was mainly me and you. It was mainly me and you.
With a festive sprinkle of Kedge.
So for that reason, just to balance it out, to show that we are all equal, this is our podcast, even though it might say Tommy's Brown Note, you might see that, but it's the Brown Note is all three of ours.
Yep.
So because they've not heard your voice, Kedge, wish everybody a happy new year and tell them we'll catch you in 2024.
Have an incredible 2024. It's been a ride. It's been great. 2023.
We haven't done
2023. No, 2023.
We didn't say that. You said have an incredible 2024.
Yeah, but I was going back.
I gave him one job, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, one job. Can't get him. So start again.
So 2023, it's been a ride. It's been a roller coaster. We've had its ups.
Bit of a cliche, though, Kedge.
I know, but it's nice to give it a little bit of cliche.
Has it really been a roller coaster? Look, I'll be honest.
It's always been a roller coaster.
No, don't say that.
No, but everyone's
has
had an up.
Has your 2023 been a roller coaster?
Yeah, there were some downs.
Can you just do it? Come on, go home.
Have a great 2024. We look forward to chatting to more Bogwas in 2024.
Tommy, give us your message.
I'd go, Happy New Year. I love you all. Thank you for listening. What's been so lovely this year, particularly for me, is meeting people who listen to the podcast that tell me what kind of purpose we serve in your life and how we've got you through some real tough times.
Yeah.
I cannot put... Don't jump on my one, bro.
No, I'm just agreeing.
No, yeah, I know you are. Because you realise I'm talking sense and now you're regretting...
But I didn't want to go sendy.
No, I'm not going sendy. I'm just kind of saying that for me... Means more than you can imagine because I don't know, that just makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah,
so thanks for listening, and we'll have lots of laughs in the new year. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! See you next year.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.